The title of this sermon is Yesterday, Today, and Forever. In the midst of this pandemic, I've been thinking a lot about time. What about the past do we want to retain? And what about the future do we hope? And where is God in all this? When I first joined the church, I was 24. This is when I first really encountered the prayer book in any sort of meaningful way on a personal level. I remember as I was thinking about time and my life, I was remembering how I was struck by the way what we call the Gloria Patria ends. And that's that phrase, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I found and I find great comfort in that. Life circumstances change, but the goodness of God, God who loves us and to whom we give glory, has been, is now, and will be forever. And this is the promise to us that our life with God is now and forever. Some of what we find in the past helps us remember that. And some of what we hope for in the future helps us remember that. And in this very moment, God, our Good Shepherd, is with us. I found myself longing for years gone by. Things have been reminding me, and thinking of times, say, before 9/11, when it was so much easier to travel, when it was so much easier in many ways, when the future looked so bright. I recently heard someone tell a story about studying abroad in 1990. I actually studied abroad in 1991, and it was so different. I thought back to that time before cell phones, before most of us had the internet. And her story made me feel nostalgic in a surprisingly strong way. I thought to myself, I'm becoming like one of those people who always says, in my day, it was this way. And I, you know, there's pluses and cons to that. And no doubt this longing is more intense in my spirit because of what we're all going through, the way things have changed and may be different going forward. Bill Gates on CNN noted this by saying, in the future, when someone sees a movie and people are shaking hands, we're going to know it was pre-COVID-19. And of course, there's so much more serious changes. People struggling for economic survival, struggling for survival itself from the virus, and of course, lives change forever with the death of family and friends. And there's also this interesting thing about government. Government being so involved in our daily lives in new ways, or at least in ways that are significantly more noticeable. Some of us are happy for that, and we've seen the protests around the country. Some are not happy for that. And how we long for life before the pandemic. Of course, life was not good for all before. This is the thing about, you know, being nostalgic about the past. Before the pandemic, there were lots of problems, and this has forced us to see disparities. Many of us, of course, knew about these already, but there's something about seeing it in this time where it's just right there for maybe some who've never thought much about it. And this is where the hope comes in, the hope that the world will be better for all this going forward, more equitable, more fair, more just, more inclusive, and really celebrating everyone, everyone's contribution, everyone's life. Into my longing of what was, and maybe your longing, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, finds us. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is called the gate. He says he is the gate through which we enter into safety, community, into that place where we find care, compassion, connection, now, today. Much has changed, but Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, has not changed. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's from Hebrews 13:8. Historically, today's gospel and the scripture I just quoted about Jesus being the way have been used to exclude some. But in fact, it's the exact opposite. The message that Jesus came so that all could find safe pasture. We know God, our good shepherd, goes ahead of the sheep and looks after the sheep. Today, we also hear Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, and we're invited to think about God, yes, as the gate, the way, and the shepherd who searches for us and leads us. Shepherds throughout the canon of Scripture, this image, this metaphor, it's been used throughout the Bible to tell us about God, but also to make comment about human leaders, as Scripture often criticizes a king or a leader as not being a good shepherd. I'm sure you can think of some leaders today who are not good shepherds, and some who are. I don't need to name these people for you. You know. Because the good shepherd cares for the sheep, searches for them, knows each by name. And that is so critical, right? To know someone by name is to really know, to value them, to be able to identify them in a crowd rather than viewing the crowd and saying, well, this is going to be better for everyone, even though this many people are going to die. The good shepherd knows each by name and then gathers them into the flock. One shepherd, one flock. And the other thing this pandemic has shown all of us, the world, is that all humanity is one. We are in this together. So when I long for the days of my young adulthood, when I long for the past, I remind myself the past was not good for everyone. And when I find myself so sad that we can't do what we did just a few months ago and have this service at church in person together, that I'm not able to embrace you and greet you, that we're not able to do that face to face, I am reminded that God is always doing a new thing, and that out of trouble, God brings something good. More people have connected with our church in greater numbers and more often, as we've been offering numerous opportunities for worship and companionship that do not require leaving home. Through Facebook, like, and this Zoom service we're doing right now, YouTube, and on our HOCO website. Some out there have gone so far as to say a new church is being born. We follow the one who was born, lived, died, and rose for us. Our story, our Christian story, is one of vulnerability, risk, trust, death, and resurrection. Our story guides us. It involves both death and new life. True Christianity has a lot to offer during this time. In a recent webinar from Virginia Seminary, James Farwell, professor, noted that our life as Christians is always about both mourning and rejoicing. It's always about lament and praise. A strong faith, a real faith like this, equips us for this time. And when we're having a hard day, when we're not able to connect with God or feel alone or feel low, when people come to me about these things or when I feel this way, I remind I remind myself and others that we can remember a time in the past when we did feel close to God. That's not just nostalgia, that's real. Those moments that we remember are sacramental. We might remember receiving communion, a time when it really touched us. For some, that's like every time. But, you know, people tell me sometimes it was incredibly meaningful. So that's a sacramental memory that we can pray with, and it's as lively for us now as it was then. Christ, who is with us then, is the same now and forever. God's love is not bound by time. As well, praying with the stories of the Bible, God's love in the past in that way, it's so helpful. Today, we might pray about later, you know, how has God, Jesus, Spirit been a gate for you, a way in, a way for you to connect and find care, safety, compassion, and community. As well, in prayer, we may wish to imagine the Good Shepherd searching for you, for me, finding you, and bringing you home. Hear the Good Shepherd call your name. Where are you when the Good Shepherd calls your name? What are you doing? How do you hear that call? And when you hear it, know that you are loved and known and searched for with this everlasting love. So often we use Psalm 23 for funerals, at funerals, appropriately so. But this is a great psalm to pray with and to claim in our lives now. It is about life with God. When you read we did a version of that sung today, which was absolutely beautiful. When you read the actual words of the psalm, the final verse we hear, "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word "follow" can also be translated as "pursue." I love that. God's love, God's goodness and mercy pursues me. Pursues you, pursues us with great passion and desire every day. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.